right now, as we do each and every week here on Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
And it's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And here we are just about 4 days, or actually 5 days, away from round number one of the U.S. Open, of course, coming up this Thursday.
My favorite tournament, Russ. My favorite.
It is Pat's favorite tournament. Of course, it always ends on Father's Day Sunday, 1 week from today. So today's Inside the Ropes segment is going to be U.S. Open intensive. We will focus on the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines later this week in California. So first one's for you, Pat. The USGA this year is trying a few different things. There's some changes for this year's U.S. Open. First of all, the television times are going to be later. It's a West Coast tournament, of course. The tournament's being played in La Jolla, just outside of San Diego at Torrey Pines. So therefore, the broadcast on NBC will end at 10 p.m. on Saturday night and 9 p.m. on Sunday night. So some late times on the East Coast because it is a West Coast event, and they are following the West Coast TV times, much like the NBA and Major League Baseball do for a lot of their regular season games. Also, number two, another change, for the first time ever, the U.S. Open pairings on Thursday and Friday will go directly by the world rankings. That means the marquee matchup, the marquee grouping of number one, two, and three in the world, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Adam Scott, will be taking place on both Thursday and Friday. So expect large crowds for that threesome. And of course, we heard the news that Adam Scott broke his pinky. So it's interesting to see how he will play during those first two rounds. Any problems with either of these changes, Pat?
Let me address the pairings first. I absolutely love this idea because I think it gives these guys a chance, especially one, two, and three, to kind of eyeball each other right off the bat and be like, hey, you guys are probably going to be my main competition in this tournament. Let's see how we measure up each other's games, how ready we are to play this course, and that kind of stuff. The guys who are 4, 5, and 6, hey, don't forget about us. We're still quality players. You know, the 1, 2, and 3 will be right behind us, I guess. So we're going to be able to watch them. I mean, I just think that is an excellent way. I think they should do this with every tournament. You should have whoever the top three seeds in each tournament, they should play together for the first couple rounds. I just think that gives a lot of excitement to the whole.
Yeah, usually tournaments are for the most part random draws.
They are.
Sometimes they pair them on purpose. I know PGA Championship has the, you know,
the winners of the majors,
right?
Yeah.
The three majors that year. Usually the PGA Championship will pair the Masters, U.S. Open, and British Open winners for the first two rounds at the final major of the year.
So I love that. I love that innovation there by the USGA. The time thing doesn't bother me as long as they don't get what I'm going to say addicted to getting into the prime time and then start skewing future U.S. Opens, like, oh, let's put this on the West Coast. Let's put this one on the West Coast so we can get those prime time ratings. I love the golf courses on the East Coast. I love Wingfoot, Oakmont. Nothing against Pebble Beach or Torrey Pines. I think we should still have those tournaments out there. But I don't want, and I hope the USGA doesn't start getting, you know, skewed because the advertising is probably going to be a lot better. And we can ask, or, you know, we can talk to Haro about this maybe next week. But, you know, I don't want those ratings to sort of skew them to say, hey, let's just start trying to get all tournaments in later time zones so we can get more money out of it, because then you're going to bypass a lot of the great courses on the East Coast. That's a minor concern. Obviously, I'm looking forward to it because I'll be able to, you know, really stay up and play golf maybe that day and be able to watch it that night. And for me, that gives me, you know, extra couple hours to watch some golf. But I think both changes are
yeah.
good. I'm just a little concerned about the tee time one or the time of the second one a little bit more than pairing the guys up, which I think is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with either of these changes. I love the pairings. I love it whenever you have huge personalities in the world of golf paired with each other. Obviously, the hope is that Phil and Tiger will be paired together on either Saturday or Sunday as well. So, you know, when they go to twosomes once the cut is made. So that would be a dream for everyone involved, especially the USGA and NBC. As for the TV times, I don't have any problem with that. It's a West Coast event. I don't have a problem following the West Coast times. Obviously, don't try to force it when it's either an East Coast event or a Central Time Zone event. Just go by, you know, the usual dictates that, you know, the broadcast ends at 7 p.m. for most U.S. Opens, when either they're on the East Coast or, you know, in the center of the country somewhere, whether it's the Midwest or down south in Texas or Oklahoma, somewhere near there. I'm glad that they made it 9 o'clock on Sunday night instead of 10, because it's 10 o'clock Saturday night, but 9 o'clock Sunday night, you know, because people need to work. I mean, you can't stay up until 10, 30, 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, because you got to be to work by Monday. So I'm kind of glad that there's a 9 p.m. finish time expected on Sunday. And let's not forget, it's not like they're trying to get finished in case there's a playoff, because the USGA format is 18 holes on Monday anyway. So there's no worries that if they don't finish it on time Sunday night, if there's a playoff, that you'll have to run over into Monday. That's the format anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Russ. I know we're on to the next topic, but a good point. Leave yourself an extra hour of light there, just in case. Not that there's going to be a playoff, but just in case for whatever reason there's rain or something and it delays it a little bit, that you have that extra buffer, because obviously you do not want to screw around with this and then have to continue the fourth round into Monday in any circumstance. So I'm glad that, you know, at least they're giving themselves that extra hour.
Yep.